I would have never been able to talk to a billionaire if I didn't have a show. Right. Like, I would have gotten stopped at like the gatekeeper. But like a couple of them, their teams have reached out to me because he's in promoting a book or something and wanted to get on some shows. And their team reached out to me to set up an interview with a billionaire. It's like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. It's not because I'm awesome. It's just because people need publicity. There's value to be added there. Welcome back to the show. I'm Travis Chappell, and I believe that if you can connect with the best, you can become the best. So after creating 800 podcast episodes about building your network, I've come to realize that networking is really just making friends, if you're doing it the right way anyway. Join me as I make friends with world-class athletes like Shaquille O'Neal, entertainers like Rob Dyrdek, authors like Dr. Nicole LaPera, former presidents like Vicente Fox, or even the occasional FBI hostage negotiator, billionaire real estate mogul, or polarizing political figure. So if you want to make more friends that help you become a better version of yourself, then subscribe to the show and keep on listening, because this is Travis Makes Friends. What up, everybody? Welcome back to another midweek mashup. Today's mashup is a little bit different because most of the time, as you know, if you listen to the show, we pull clips from past episodes of some of our heavy hitting guests, and we usually make it topic centric. You know, like we pick real estate investing, or we pick athletics, or we pick business development or something, or marketing. And then we put together a bunch of topic based clips from past guests talking about that one thing. Well, if there's one thing that I have continuously talked about since I started my show, almost 6 years ago, which is crazy, it's been podcasting itself. It's been me trying to explain to people why they should start a podcast. And if you're thinking that it's just to get sponsors and make some money and become a media company, then you're thinking about it the wrong way. And so today's midweek mashup is actually a compilation of different reasons I've given for starting a podcast throughout the years, pulling clips from back 4 or 5 years ago when I was first started telling people that they should be starting podcasts. So without further ado, this week's mashup episode features 5 different clips. Travis Chappell, Travis Chappell, Travis Chappell, Travis Chappell, and then last but not least, Travis Chappell. Hope you enjoy. The only people that are going to be successful, especially in the content space, are the people who continue with consistency no matter what.
My biggest thing is podcasting, or else I do what I believe to be the best platform, right? Or else, you know, I'd be on a different platform. So I do the podcasting on purpose because of a couple of reasons. Number one, podcasting is something that a lot of people will not have to focus on completely, if that makes sense. So like if I'm going to sit and watch YouTube content, then I have to like sit in front of my computer or sit in front of my phone and just like watch content, right? And not everybody has time to do that, especially not a lot of productive people. So unless they have like dedicated time where they're like, hey, I'm going to watch some content on YouTube for a little bit, right? So podcasting is something where people can just put you in their ears and then they go around and go about their day. They're at the gym, they're in the car, they have you on in the background. It also creates a really personal connection versus like having a blog or something, because if you're blogging, you're only reading content and you don't hear that person's voice. Whereas when you're on a podcast, people really get to know you. Like people come up to me and they're like, man, that's cool that you have your podcast, and we do a little bit of interaction, and they're like, man, you're the same person, you know, that I listen to every day. Like you're like the same, like it sounds the same, right? Because they're actually getting to know me as a person when they're on my show. So I prefer it to blogging because of that. I prefer it to YouTubing because you don't have to give it your undivided attention to be able to consume the content. And then it's such that the platform is just in its infancy, and I think that it has a long way to go. So that's just a couple of the reasons that I pick podcasts. One of the easiest ways for me to add value to somebody who I have never met before is by bringing them on to the platform that I've built and created for myself. So yeah. Bringing them onto my podcast, like when I reach out, well, perfect example, bro. Like when I reached out to you, like if I didn't have a platform, a show, like a way for you to get in touch with people who you may not have ever had the possibility of getting in touch with, like the reason that you were willing to come on my show was because I had spent the last year and a half, whatever it was at that point, building up this credibility, building up this platform, and building up this value adding excuse just to reach out and connect with the people that I want to talk to. Like, because I'm a pretty simple guy. Like, I just like having relationships with cool people. There's no better way to do that. Like, if you're gonna try to do that anyway, you may as well just record it and throw it onto iTunes and call it a podcast. Like, it's such a simple thing. And it doesn't have to be bigger pockets. It doesn't have to be at 3, 4, 5 million downloads a month. Like, it doesn't have to be to those numbers in order for it to be a quote unquote success. Like, all it is an excuse for you to reach out to people that you really, really want to connect with. And it's the perfect way to add value to those people. And you're not asking them for something. You're not saying like, hey, come on my show because I want to do well.
It's like, come on my show because, hey, I really believe in your message. I really believe in like helping you get this out to more people. And I have this audience here that I've put together. They would love to hear from you and I'd be happy to feature you on the show. Like it's a value adding excuse. So I know those are long-winded answer, but to me, it always goes back to how can I add value in this situation? How can I bring something to the table and help other people without, you know, marking it in my head and being like, well, Brandon owes me because I put him in front of my audience. So yeah. Like, you better do this, 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 and this for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that at all. It's just a genuine desire to help people. And like I said at the beginning of the show, when you put out good stuff, you're going to get good stuff back. What you focus on, you get more of. So you put out that good stuff and put out helpful things for people. And it's just always going to come back to you. You just got to trust that. It's really difficult to beat the system in podcasting. You know, yeah. On YouTube, you can buy fake views and you can buy fake subscribers, and same on Instagram, you can buy fake followers and likes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can fake it a lot of different places. Podcasts are one of those places where like you can't really fake it very much. Like you either do it well or you don't do it well. And so the only way to do it well is to continue releasing consistent content, even if nobody's listening. That's the biggest part. And it's really difficult to do because I've been there. It's really difficult to do when you're, you know, pouring your heart and soul into something and it just seems like it's just crickets on the other end. But you just got to be willing to, you know, commit to a certain period of time before you throw in the towel.
Part of that, I think part of that goes back to what you were saying. It's like you tell this to your clients all the time, like, hey, be okay with sucking right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Just earn, be just understand you're going to earn your stripes for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're okay with sucking right now because nobody's listening anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when you got people listening, you'll be good enough for it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, best example of this is look at Gary Vaynerchuk, man. He's got to be one of the prime examples of this just because everybody knows who he is. So it's a perfect example to use. He started Wine Library TV and he would get like 112 views, you know, 76 views, you know, 127 views. Like it was, when he started Wine Library TV on YouTube, nobody paid attention. Nobody listened. But he focused on who did listen. And that's the problem is that everybody always wants to focus on what they don't have rather than being grateful for what they do have. So I downloaded an iPhone wallpaper from Gary Vee when I started my show. And it's just a one, a greater than sign, and a zero. Basically just reaffirming to me that like, look, if somebody is willing to pay attention, if somebody is willing to listen to my message, if somebody is listening to my podcast or reaching out and saying, hey, this is a good episode, if somebody's paying attention, like I need to put my heart and soul into helping that one person. If you don't give that audience of one the same quality time and attention that you would give to an audience of a million, then you'll never have a million.
Then you don't deserve a million.
Exactly.
And wouldn't you say also, I think consistency is key, that this is not something that, oh, I did 10 episodes, it didn't kind of go anywhere, and I'll try my best, no one wants to be on my show, like, oh, this doesn't work, like that kind of thing. Actually, let me ask a different question. How many shows did you do until you hit that maybe the 1 million downloads?
400? Yeah.
Listen to Travis. It's not four. It's not 40. It's not 100. It's 400.
Yeah. Yeah. That people have such a low tolerance for the obstacles. Mm. It's such a low tolerance for the pain that those obstacles bring because it feels bad, right? When you're creating, because I've been doing 3 episodes a week since I started. So when you're creating that much content and you're putting that much effort into something and it's not having any sort of return, it starts to really, really start to just irritate and make you feel bad about yourself.
Self-doubt for sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It nurtures those self-doubts. That voice inside your head that's telling you you're not good enough is just being like, yeah, you were right. You aren't good enough. You've been doing this for 7 months. But then when you really look at it in the grand scheme of things, 7 months is not a long time to do anything at all. Like there's name a field that you can get to the top of in 7 months. True. That's just not, it's a completely unrealistic expectation of what's going to come to you, especially if you've never done anything prior to that would set you up in a different way to be able to take advantage of it in a faster time frame. You know what I mean? So people just come to the table with completely unrealistic expectations. And when, you know, come up against that first obstacle, it's just like, oh man, I wasn't expecting this to be difficult. You know what I mean? May as well stop doing it. So yeah.
The type of rapport that you can build in a podcast interview is unmatched compared to any other sort of like content creation or platform.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you have someone speak at your event, they're speaking to your audience, but like, they're not speaking to you. You're not having a conversation with them. Like a podcast is literally just a conversation about whatever you, the host, decide the conversation should be about. So the cool thing is like, if you're curious about something, you can go bring on, if you have someone like Lewis, you can go bring on the foremost expert in that thing and just ask them whatever questions you want to ask them. You know, we've had probably 4 or 5 billionaires on the show. I would have never been able to talk to a billionaire if I didn't have a show. Right. Like, I would have gotten stopped at like the gatekeeper's gatekeeper's gatekeeper. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have even made it to like the billionaire's gatekeeper. I would have gotten stopped like 3 gatekeeper levels down before I made it up to him for what, a 5-minute phone call to ask about my like little podunk business when he's running a multi-billion dollar corporation. But like a couple of them, their teams have reached out to me because he's in promoting a book or something and wanted to get on some shows. And their team reached out to me to set up an interview with a billionaire. It's like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. It's not because I'm awesome. It's just because people need publicity and there's value to be added there. And if I can be the person that helps sell some more books, then they're willing to spend 20, 30 minutes of their day with me. And I can ask them whatever questions I want to ask them. And it acts as like a knowledge and skill set accelerator as well as a network accelerator.
Yeah. No, I agree. I love it. It's easy for me because I don't need to prep for content. I just talk to people, bring cool people on. I'll just have a normal conversation with them and it works out great.
So podcasting ended up being kind of the vehicle for me just to kind of try to figure out and start heading in that direction. And I saw some people making a bunch of money with podcasts and I was like, didn't know that was a thing. Seems like fun. Let's start this and try that out. So I started a podcast. It was now almost 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago. And that show's been going for 820 something episodes or something like that now.
Still active to this day.
Still active to this day. Yep.
That's tough.
Yeah, just kept reaching out to better and higher quality guests. And, you know, through that time period, the last 6 years has been a whirlwind. We went from like, I have no idea how to make money online to now it was like, oh, well, this person wants help with their podcast. I guess maybe I could charge for that. So I started doing a little bit of podcast coaching and then I did enough of podcast coaching where my price is starting getting too high. And I just was like, why don't we just take everything that we figured out and put it into a course? We started doing podcast courses, community. And then we started doing masterminds and events and those were going well. And then COVID happened and I shut all that down because I swore I would never do virtual. I only wanted to do in person. They were very experiential driven type masterminds and events.
Right.
And so when COVID shut that down, that was when we went into software. And it was like a problem that everybody was experiencing from my clients to myself, to my students in my course. And so that was when we started Guestio, which is, you know, like a Cameo booking marketplace for guests for your podcast. And then it kind of pivoted last year into becoming more like a marketplace to find shows to be a guest on for marketing purposes. And then when that started taking off, it was like, oh, well, we have all these higher level, higher ticket clients who are coming to us and like, hey, the software's cool, but, you know, I don't have time to use it. Can you just do it for me? So we started an agency on the back end, booking guests on shows and then doing podcast launches, production, marketing, and all that stuff. So now we have like a full stack podcast agency, and then we have the software company, and then I have my podcast, which we just recently rebranded from Build Your Network to Travis Makes Friends. So yeah, that's 30,000 foot view from start to finish, yeah, or start to current.
I know.
So let me ask you this, like what was your biggest struggles in the last 6 years in starting your podcast from just time management to booking guests, what was your biggest struggles in your journey going through it?
The biggest thing, man, is like, I tell people all the time, you have to be painfully consistent because it is painful. There's a lot of times in between where you're like, man, we're doing all this extra work. Like, you guys have a suite set up in here. You got a good studio. You got some nice mics. You have somebody operating a camera over here. You got multiple cameras, lights. You have the whole thing set up here. And when you're putting in that much work into something and then you do it for like 18 months and you're still kind of like, man, well, nobody's really listened to this. Well, how come our stats aren't growing? How come we're not Joe Rogan yet? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you start getting in your head a lot about that stuff. Those are the most difficult parts. It's like remaining consistent, even when your numbers aren't growing, even if your numbers are shrinking, it's remaining consistent in spite of whatever else is going on in life. You have life issues. You know, we've had a lot of things happen inside of like my family and personal life in the last 6 years that could have easily derailed me in that time period. But it's just a matter of understanding that the only people that are going to be successful, especially in the content space, are the people who continue with consistency no matter what. At some point, it's just going to, you know, start hockey sticking if you stick to quality and consistency. You know what I mean? It's just, there's no any way space. It can't. What's that?
I said any space you're in.
Yes.
Consistency. You know?
Any space. Yeah, I correct.
Quality and consistency.
Yeah, it's got to be quality. You know, you can't phone it in. That was the reason for the rebrand is like for the last probably year of Build Your Network, I was really phoning it in. My producer was taking a lot of hosting away from me. Really what happened was I got really stressed and anxious building the software company. And I was kind of doing a lot of that on my own with like an outsourced dev shop and a small team. And we raised
you know, 1.3 million in seed funding. And I was really trying to be smart about how we were going to use the money and all that stuff. And it was like, it was a brand new world to me. I'd never raised capital. I'd never built software. I never did any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, I was so focused on that, that I wasn't able to spend the time that I usually would doing stuff for the podcast, and just kind of started becoming a drain on me. Quality started going down. Audience started going down. My desire to do it started going down. My passion was lost. Like, it was just, everything was going to crap. So it was basically at the end of like Q3 last year, I just told my team, I was like, look, we either need to shut this down and stop wasting time, or we need to do it the way that I really want to do it. And so we decided to do it the way I really wanted to do it. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for spending some time with me and my friends. If you want to be better friends with me, then head over to travischappell.com/team to subscribe to my free newsletter, Your Friend Travis, where I share what's on my mind about life, building a business, raising kids, being married, and anything else I would normally share with my close circle of friends. That's travischappell.com/team. And my biggest ask of you, since I'm sharing my friends with you, is to share this episode with a friend of yours that hasn't listened to the show yet. Then leave us a quick 5-star rating